Jim McGovern of Massachusetts' wonderful 2nd District, a Democrat in office since 1997. Jim, I hear you were out in Flint, Michigan recently. What does this portend?
Yeah, no, I was. It was a couple of weeks ago. I went with Leader Pelosi and the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional Progressive Caucus to kind of get a firsthand look at the situation out there. And quite frankly, it's horrifying. I mean, it's hard to believe that the United States of America, that we have water systems that are so poor that people are poisoned by the water they drink. Children, adults, elderly people, and it really shouldn't be. We're not a third world country. We're the United States of America. We ought to invest in a first rate infrastructure. And the fact is that I don't think Flint is unique. I think there are a lot of other areas in the United States that are facing similar situations. And what we need to do is invest the necessary resources to bring our infrastructure up to where it should be, and especially with regard to drinking water. I mean, you can't live without water. And everybody ought to have the peace of mind to know that when they turn on their faucet and they drink the water that comes out of it, that they're not being poisoned. And so it's really frustrating, especially for the people of Flint, because the state knew about this for some time and didn't do anything about it. They just continued to conduct business as usual. Meanwhile, all these children and all these people were being poisoned, and I think that's unforgivable.
There's a move on to impeach the governor, recall him.
Well, I think he should be impeached or resign, okay. I think if the evidence points to it, he ought to be, prosecuted. I mean, this is a criminal offense. And, you don't really know how much damage has been done. You know, one young boy, asked the question whether or not he would grow up to be smart because he had been drinking the water. I mean, imagine that, a young boy wondering about whether or not he can be smart when he grows up because, of what he's been learning about what he's been drinking. And, that is, it's heartbreaking. And look, Flint is mostly a poor community. I think if it was a wealthier community, this would never have happened, or it would have been remedied immediately. And one of the things I did learn is that in addition to poor drinking water, in fact, poisonous drinking water, there are a lot of other problems in Flint. There's no supermarket in Flint. They don't have a single supermarket. They have a bunch of small little stores, but no supermarket. And so in addition to bad water, it's hard to get good food. And, so that contributes to the health issues. I mean, one of the things that the residents have been told to mitigate the impact of high lead levels is to get their kids to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables. Well, a lot of these little small stores that are in these neighborhoods don't have a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, if any. Even the so-called remedies or the ways to mitigate some of the damage, they couldn't take advantage of because of the, lack of a supermarket, something that basic. So we need to reassess how we're doing things, and we could do a heck of a lot better. And my heart breaks for the people out there, parents talking about their children. I mean, I'll tell you this: I am in awe of the people of Flint, though, because we had a town meeting in one of the local churches, and they were all very articulate and very contained in their kind of responses to what had happened to them. But also, they want to make their community better. And they were, making demands and asks to invest in the community so that they could make it better, so it could be, a city they could be proud to live in. I'm not sure if a similar thing happened to me and my kids that I would be able to do that. I'd be out of my mind with anger and frustration. And again, I mean, I kept on saying to myself as I was listening to these stories about what was happening that this is the United States of America. This is the richest country in the history of the world, and there are people being poisoned by the water that they drank out of their faucets.
Okay, so specifically, what is the fix?
Well, the fix is to make sure that the pipes that bring you water aren't corroded and delivering lead, to your drinking water, and so that requires some investment. Now, the state has a responsibility there. Unfortunately, the governor is sitting on a $1 billion rainy day fund and doesn't seem particularly compelled to want to spend that down to fix this. But we need to make one is we need to make sure that our pipes are safe. They're not corroded. And then, in addition to the mainline pipes, that that the, you know, cities and states are responsible for. Oftentimes, you know, the pipes that connect a house to the mainline drinking water, those are corroded. And we need to find ways to help residents be able to get the resources to be able to fix that problem. But look, whether it's roads or bridges or, you know, or water pipes, you know, as we age as a country, we need to recognize that it's important to, you know, make sure that our infrastructure is at top form. And what happened in Flint and what's happening in other parts of the country is neglect. And I get it. Nobody, you know, people don't want to spend money. But there are some things where you have to spend money on because the alternative is what you saw happen in Flint. You have people being poisoned. And, you know, and I think that by any measure that is unacceptable. And it's unconscionable, and I think it's criminal.
I see. I want to switch subjects with you, Jim McGovern. I know, of course, that you are a Hillary supporter.
Right.
I'm wondering about whether or not, considering her lead over Bernie Sanders right now, she's stoppable.
You know, I mean, who knows? I think she has a bigger lead over Bernie Sanders than Barack Obama had over her. And I think that in order for Bernie to win, you know, he needs to win like 76 to 80% of all the remaining delegates. You know, you never say never in politics, but I think it's becoming increasingly unlikely that he can pull ahead of her and pledge committed delegates. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, that's what's going to determine who the nominee is, not superdelegates, but these pledged delegates that are won based on, you know, primary results in various states. Look, I like Bernie a lot. He's a friend of mine. And as I've told my friends who are Bernie supporters, if he is the nominee, I'll work my heart out for him. But I think Hillary would make the better president, quite frankly. And I say that based on 20 years of knowing her, of working with her, and actually seeing some really important things that I care about move forward, whether it's children's health care or whether it's, you know, combating extreme poverty and global hunger. She's done more as Secretary of State to alleviate that scourge than I think any other Secretary of State prior to her, and so I think she'd be a great president, and I hope she wins. But you know, this process will go on, I expect, through June, and then it'll be clear. Somebody will have a lead in terms of pledged delegates. And whoever that person is will be the nominee.
You're progressive. We know that. You're one of the most progressive members of the House of Representatives. Bernie is seen as the, quote, more progressive. And, you know, and Hillary is seen more towards the middle. So how do you reconcile that?
Well, first of all, my progressive rating, I don't want to brag, is
100%.
Much more progressive than Bernie's, according to some of the ratings. So, you know, that's, I want to establish that up front. But two, look, you know, I mean, on issues of, you know, universal child care, I mean, Hillary's been out front on that issue, on issues of investing in infrastructure, on dealing with the terrible things that we're seeing in Flint. I mean, she's been out front on this issue, on the issue of voting rights, on the issue of women's rights, I mean, on the issue of equal pay for equal work, on protecting women's reproductive rights, on LGBT rights, on, I mean, I go right down the list. I mean, to imply that somehow she's not a progressive, I don't think is accurate. You know, has she voted on things that I disagree with? Yeah. You know, I thought the vote on the Iraq war was a mistake. But she's not the only one who voted for it. You know, John Kerry voted for that war as well. You know, I agree with a lot of what Bernie's done. Are there issues I disagree with him on? Yeah. Guns in particular, including his vote to protect gun manufacturers from liability. I have a big problem with that. But having said that, the differences I have with either Hillary or Bernie pale in comparison to the differences I have with the Republicans. And so that's why I say that no matter who the nominee is, I'm going to go out there and work my heart out for him. And I think either one of them would be a great president. I think Hillary would be the better president based on what I know. That's my judgment. But I respect people who have a difference of opinion. But I think it's not accurate to say that somehow, you know, the progressive shouldn't be supporting Hillary because somehow she's not a progressive. I mean, on all these issues that I have just outlined, she's not only been progressive, she's been out front. And, you know, and certainly if you go back from the time she was first lady, the right wing has demonized her not only as a progressive, but as some kind of left-wing fringe.
Right. That's true.
Person. So I mean, she's battled it all.
That's true. Jim McGovern, always wonderful to talk to you. You're our friend, and we so appreciate your coming in here and sharing your views on it. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about probably the one thing that is on everybody's mind right now, the Supreme Court. Okay?
Great.